Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I thank God for your lives. This morning, let us start again with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Thanking God for this new month and this new day that He has made. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning to thank You. We give You praise, glory, and honor. We are grateful for this privilege of allowing us to cross over into this new month. We are grateful for all that You have done for us, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercies, and Your love and kindness towards us. We are thanking You, Father, for every blessing that You've blessed us with, and we look forward to what You have prepared for us in this month of February. Lord, we thank You for Your sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Jesus, we thank You for the sacrifice that You made for us and for shedding the blood that You shed. We are grateful to You, Jesus. We do not take it for granted. We thank You for Your precious blood that speaks of better things for us than the blood of Abel. And we plead that blood over ourselves, our families, and everything and everyone whom You blessed us with in this life. Thank You, Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, we welcome You into our homes. We welcome You into our lives. We welcome You right now on this line. We say thank You for who You are, for what You have done, and for how You teach us and lead us and guide us. And this morning, even as we pray these Colossians prayers, we ask that You pray alongside us. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deeper, and clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of You, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of You, fully pleasing to You and desiring to please You in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of You, Father God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of Your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to You, Father, because You've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And Father, we thank You that You've delivered us and drawn us to Yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and You've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of Your love, in whom we have our redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our sins. Father, we give You praise. We give You praise, Jesus. We give You praise, Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this morning I'd like us to continue talking about following God's plan for your life. Now, an area that is important for us is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." So you, in order for you to be a son of God, you know, according to this verse, you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. When God calls you, God shows you the plan or gives you the vision for your life or the plan for your life, you can't walk it by yourself. You can't make this decisions by yourself. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit is leading you and directing you, one of the things that will happen is along the way, He'll start to tell you where to go, what to do. He'll give you warnings. In fact, if we look at the Bible, God gives warnings to people before anything. If there's, you know, any impending danger, He will give you warnings. In Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 7, the Bible says that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to save to the saving of his house. Amen. So God warned Noah prior to the flood coming. Amen. And so it's important that we understand this, because let's go to, I want to read it to you from the Amplified Version of Hebrews 11 and verse 7. I like using the Amplified Bible anyhow. So it says, prompted by faith, Noah being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness, that relationship, the relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. So what I wanted us to see clearly is that he was prompted by faith. He was forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign. And then he took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared the ark for the deliverance of his own family. So there are times that God will give you, and at that time, if you recall, the Holy Spirit was present. Father God and, you know, the Jesus, they were all present, but people were hearing directly from God because there was no go-between. We have the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, who speaks to us and directs us. So usually God will give us, you know, forewarnings of events which are yet to come. There may be no visible sign, but he may give you that warning. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to show us things that are to come. Jesus actually said that. And so here's the thing about a warning. You can either listen to it or you can choose to ignore it. We see that Noah could have easily ignored that warning, or he could, you know, or he could do what was necessary to prevent his family and himself from being destroyed. Now, his responsibility, it wasn't only just for him and his family. It was also for him to give that warning to the people around him. But they chose to do differently than he did. They ignored it. And so, of course, you know the story, because he and his family heeded the warning. They were spared from the flood, and those who didn't heed the warning were not spared. Now, at this point, whose fault was it, you know, that all those people died? It wasn't God's fault. No, because God already gave the warning. Now, unfortunately, God gets blamed for a lot of things that happen, a lot of bad things that happen. But, you know, I always believe with all my heart, and from reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that God always gives us warnings, no matter what. If there's impending danger, he gives us warnings. There's always a warning, but it is our choice as to what to do with the warnings that God gives us. Now, I know that, you know, sometimes some of the warnings that come from God or from the Holy Spirit may not necessarily make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to do it by faith. We were told that Noah, by faith, or prompted by faith, he heeded the warning that he had been given. Now, remember, at that time, no ark had been built before. He didn't even know what it was. God gave him specific instructions after he heeded the warning and went ahead and started building. He told him exactly what to do. I don't believe at that time Noah had even seen what an ark looked like, but he just followed the instructions that he was being told by God, how to make the ark exactly. So if God can tell Noah how to make an ark that he had never seen before, what can stop God from showing us exactly where to be, what to do, which road to take, which stop to make, where to go? I mean, you know, God always shows us, and the Holy Spirit, that's his job, to help us. Amen. It's his job to tell us what is going to happen, what's going to go down, you know, before these things happen. So when things are happening and people say, oh, you know, God didn't tell us, God does not hide these things from us. The Holy Spirit will not hide these things from us. You know, it for me, it's offensive to God. You know, I find it to be offensive to God when people say, oh, when disaster happens and people say, well, you know, this is the Lord. No, the Lord would have warned before if you had been sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why when you see certain disasters, people come out and say, you know, this morning I woke up and the Lord said, don't go to work yet, or do this, or stop by here. Normally I wouldn't stop by here, but today I decided to stop by here. And then later on I found out this is what happened. Well, it's because they're being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important. Another biblical example is, you know, in scripture. First of all, well, you know, I thank God that Noah didn't ignore the warning from God. His decision was not only life-saving for his entire family and himself, but it was very clear that it was by faith that God warned Noah. So I want us to make sure we understand this part. It is always going to be by faith that the Holy Spirit will warn you. And sometimes it will be through somebody. He might say something to somebody. Usually God will give me stuff for people. I'll tell them if he releases me to tell the person, or I'll just say something general to everybody, pray this way or do this. Usually it's warnings, and it's up to a person to actually, you know, agree to do what has been spoken or not to do it. It's a choice, just like we saw in Noah's time. You know, God will always warn us, but we have to receive the warning by faith. In another biblical example, we see, and I used this example yesterday in talking about, you know, getting rid of strife, but this example is also good in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, where Jesus was warning Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain." Now, if you read this same passage in the Message translation, it says, "Simon, stay on your toes." In other words, meaning, you know, stay alert, be attentive. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Stay, you know, one of the things that I mentioned yesterday is that the enemy wants us to come out under the shadow of, you know, the Almighty. You know, when we declare Psalm 91 over ourselves, we say the one who hides himself under the shadow of the Almighty, that's under the umbrella of God's keeping. You know, so clearly Jesus said the enemy is asking excessively for all of you to be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God. You see, the power and keeping of God is like an umbrella. When you're under it, it doesn't matter how much rain is coming down or how hard it's pouring. The raindrops will roll off that umbrella and never touch you. It doesn't matter if there's a downpour, there's hail, whatever is there. You'll be dry so long as you stay under the protection of your umbrella. Well, Satan is trying to get you and I out from under the umbrella of the keeping power of God, because he knows that he can't destroy us as long as we are under it. But the thing is that you have to choose to stay under that umbrella. In Psalm 91, we are required to do verse 1 and verse 2. From verse 3 all the way to the end, that's God's responsibility. That's not for us. But as long as we do verse 1, and then verse 2 says, "And I will say of the Lord," which means you have to say something out of your mouth by faith. I will say of the Lord, "You are my refuge, you are my God," you know, and all that. You know, so you have to say it out of your mouth, you know. But the thing is, again, you have to choose to do that. You have to be under the covering of God. The minute you're out from under the covering of God, then that's where Satan, you know, loves for us to be. He is able to come and attack you. You know, Jesus warned Peter about this. He was telling him, he says, he's asking excessively that all of you, he didn't say just you, Peter, he said all of you, but he was telling Peter. So it was not just a warning for Peter alone, but it was a warning for all of them, the disciples. He's asking excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. That's what the Amplified Bible says. It wasn't just for Peter alone. The enemy wanted to sift all of them like grain. Amen. So this tells me that Satan cannot accomplish what he desires unless he can get you and I out from under the keeping power of God. Now, no matter what Satan throws at you, as long as you listen to God's warnings and stay under the umbrella of the keeping power of God, his attacks cannot touch you. That's what Psalm 91 is all about. That's why it's so important that before you leave your house, you declare Psalm 91. Before you go to bed at night, you declare Psalm 91. Not only over yourself, but your children. Even if they don't live in your home, you can still declare Psalm 91 over them. If they're in school somewhere, declare Psalm 91 over them. Amen. Declare it over your entire family, over your household. Before you travel, declare Psalm 91. Don't just get on planes just to get on plane and, you know, take it for granted that you'll arrive where you're going. Declare Psalm 91 over yourself. When you're traveling by road, declare Psalm 91. Don't just get on, you know, get in the car and assume you arrive at your destination. Begin to pray. Cover the highways, wherever you're going to drive, with the blood of Jesus. Ask the Lord to release his warring angels to be with you, the angels of protection to guide you and to lead you, to be right there with you. Declare Psalm 91 over yourself. Amen. Now, there are certain things, you know, that we need to do in order to be able to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, we are warned by the Apostle Timothy. He tells us in verse 26 here, he says, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do His, God's will. What is this talking about? Well, in this chapter, you know, his Apostle Paul is the one writing this letter to Timothy, and he's admonishing the listeners to flee from youthful lust. It's, that's what it's actually talking about. It's starting to talk about instructions about fleeing from youthful lust. Amen. It's telling him to study and to be eager and to do his utmost present to present himself to God, approved, tested by trial. You know, telling him what he needs to do, but he has to avoid empty talk, you know, idle talk, useless talk, flee from, you know, verse 22 starts by saying, shun youthful lusts and flee from them and aim at and pursue righteousness. You know, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed, and aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, and so it goes on, and then here is where he's telling him to definitely flee from youthful lust. Now, if you don't flee from this lust, this youthful lust, you will yield to it. That's why the enemy can take you captive at his will. And so when you yield to this youthful lust, you're getting yourself from, you know, taking yourself under the taking yourself away from the umbrella of the keeping power of God. And so if you're, you know, dealing with youthful lust, you can't hear from the Holy Spirit because your flesh is in the way. Amen. So how do you get rid of that? Well, you have to stay in prayer, be in an attitude of prayer all day long. You don't have to be kneeling on your knees. You get down on your knees, you know, to be praying all day. No, an attitude of prayer is not always talking. Most times it's listening. You pray and you listen. Remember, you know, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. You know, so if you are dialoguing with God, you say something, God says something. Allow the Lord to speak to you and tell you what you need to hear. But you have to create that atmosphere around you where God can talk to you at any time that he needs to talk to you. One of the ways is by you praying in the Spirit. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. That's a prayer that will always be answered. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus said men ought to always pray, never to give up, faint, cave in, or quit. What I believe he meant by this is that we needed to stay in an attitude of prayer. We see also in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, it says to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you stop, you know, you have to go 20 hours, 24 hours a day in terms of, you know, nonstop prayer. You can pray nonstop without having to stop. And one of the ways is just being in an attitude of prayer, because it enables us to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Now, the opposite happens when you're not in an attitude of prayer. Without being in this atmosphere, then you become insensitive to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll miss the warnings and the promptings that he endeavors to give you and lead you and guide you. So having that prayer life, every single day, you know, communing with God, not just praying for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then the rest of the day you're not talking to God, and then you pray again maybe tomorrow, praying on Sunday only. No, you've got to stay in prayer throughout the day. You know, find moments. I've always done things like even when I'm, you know, getting on a bathroom break. You know, when I used to work, bathroom break, I use that as a time to just praise God, worship him, you know, praise him, glorify him, you know, speak to him, pray in the Spirit on my lunch breaks, praying in the Spirit. You know, I mean, whenever you get a chance, a coffee break, pray, you know, because you might say, well, I'm at work. Even as you're sitting at your desk, you're doing your work, you can be praying in the Spirit, you know. But stay in an attitude of prayer so that, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Now, all of us need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but it does take practice. And it might start with something like, him telling you to help someone or telling you to sow into someone's life, you know. And those are some of the little tests to see if you're actually paying attention or listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible encourages us in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 25. It talks about the doer of his word being blessed in his deeds. In fact, the Amplified Bible says that the doer of the word of God is the one who lives a life of obedience. So you have to learn obedience in the little things that the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Just like in the book of John chapter 2 verse 5, when Mary instructed the workers at the wedding to, she said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Though, you know, we've seen this, just do it and all that stuff. It's not really, you know, Nike who came up with that. It was Mary, you know, but it's vital for us to, that we learn how to simply follow, you know, the simple instructions and be sensitive. You know, these simple instructions, we have to be in full obedience of them at all times, being sensitive to whatever the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Usually when he speaks, he'll tug or impress your spirit, or, you know, he'll give you peace or you'll have no peace. And just do as Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you look at in Acts chapter 16, God, the Holy Spirit actually warned the men of God in Acts 16, verse 6. He said, the Bible says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, remember, you if you read that, you'll be like, I thought Jesus, you know, said that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, yeah, but, you know, the Holy Spirit here is saying, don't go. Why not? Well, it wasn't for them to ask questions. They didn't have to know the why not. The Holy Spirit simply said, don't stop and preach here. Now, it didn't mean that when he said that, it meant that it was forever. It just meant that it wasn't going to be at that time. I know this because, you know, I've had invitations to speak in different places, in different countries. I continue to receive invitations. And when I tell the people that, you know, I can't come yet until the Lord releases me, some of them get upset. They don't understand. But you see, what they don't understand is that I'm waiting on God to say, okay, go. If he doesn't tell me to go somewhere, then I can't go. Even right here in the U.S., if the people invite me and I pray about it, I don't just accept any invitation. If the people invite me and I say, you know, I pray and the Lord says, no, not at this time, then I don't go. I don't just accept just because it's an invitation. You see, so here we see that these the apostles in the book of Acts, they were traveling with the intent of sharing the good news, but the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach in Asia at that particular time. Later on, the Bible reveals that the Holy Spirit forbade them once again, saying, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them in verse 7. So if you notice, at two different times during their missionary travels, the Holy Ghost told these ministers not to go where they had planned. However, if you go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 12, the directive changes from no to go. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit instructed me to accompany them. Now, you see, these guys in the early church, they had to rely on the Holy Spirit. They had to rely on the direction and instruction of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have, you know, CDs or teachings, the internet or anything like that, or GPS. They had to rely on strictly on the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I have so many things in this generation that we allow to control and govern and dictate what we do and where we go, that we are not proficient enough in hearing the directions of the Holy Spirit. And so being sensitive to the Holy Spirit will cause you to be in the right place at the right time. You have to allow him to order your steps. You know, praying in the Spirit is one of the greatest ways to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because it will cause you to know his will for you in every area of your life. Now, going back to Luke 22, when Jesus told Peter that Satan was trying his best to get an opportunity to sift and the others as wheat, if you recall, if you read that whole chapter, verse 34, it says that, you know, immediately Jesus, after he gave him this warning, Jesus said to Peter, you'll deny me three times, but Peter ignored Jesus's warning, and what happened? He ended up falling into Satan's trap. The next thing you know, he had done exactly what Jesus warned him about. He denied Christ. At that point, he left and didn't walk with the apostles for a season. In fact, when Jesus was later raised up from the dead, the angel who appeared at Jesus's tomb after his resurrection told the women who came to anoint his body, assuming he was still dead, to go tell his disciples and Peter that he was risen. So why did the Bible say, and Peter? Well, because Peter had gone back to fishing for a season because he was so ashamed of what he had done. Well, we thank God that, you know, he didn't do what Judas did. Judas thought there was no forgiveness for him, and he went out and hung himself. But Peter swallowed his pride and came back. And later on, we are told in the book of Acts that after the fire of the Spirit came down at Pentecost, God even made Peter one of the chief apostles. Well, what's the point to this? Well, the point remains that warnings come from all, you know, different places. Now, you might say to yourself, well, if Jesus said it to me directly, then I'd obey. Well, you have to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that you can recognize a warning for what it is, even if it comes in different forms. Now, though God uses various impressions or words to speak to us, you know, sometimes he will use dreams to speak warnings to you. Amen. And so it's so important that you know that sometimes the dreams that you get, sometimes they can even be frightening, but it's a warning. Write it down. I always say to, you know, my ministry partners, write down your dreams. Don't just keep it in your head. It's for a purpose. Sometimes God will show you something that's about to come in the future through a dream. And he may show you in part. He might not show you the whole plan. He'll show you some of it today, and then he'll show you another part another time. And so if you write it down, you'll be able to connect the dots. And just write it down and then ask the Holy Spirit for understanding. You know, this dream, you know. But many times what we do is we'll call somebody. Oh, you know, I had this dream. So what do you think it means? That's not the Holy Spirit. You need to, first, before you go to somebody else and ask, pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit, I need understanding of what this dream is. And whatever he tells you, wait for him to give you the answer. Don't just ask and then walk away. Wait for him to give you the answer. He might give you the answer during the day, he might not. And it's okay if you don't get a revelation or understanding at that time of what that dream meant. It doesn't mean that now you should be all tied up in knots because, oh, this scary dream. You know, if it's something that you don't want to come to pass in your life, just cancel it. As soon as you see it, well, I reject that. It is not my portion. I cancel that dream. I cancel every dream that is not to the glory of God. I cancel it now in Jesus' name and ask the Lord to reveal to you. Tomorrow, I want us to go through, and well, we can do it right now real quickly, but in the book of Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul was traveling on a ship. The Holy Spirit told him to tell, he specifically told him to tell the captain of that ship that it was not a good idea to set sail. Take time to read Acts 27, the whole chapter. And in verse 10 and 11, we see here that he says, this is Apostle Paul. He says, but saying, sirs, I perceive after careful observation that this voyage will be attended with disaster and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but of our lives also. However, the centurion paid greater attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. Okay, so we see that, you know, the Holy Spirit was giving them a warning, not only just to Paul, it was for everybody on the ship. But we see the captain believed the owner of the ship, who was determined to set sail, more than he did the words of the Apostle Paul. The result was just as Paul had told them. They got out in the storm, the ship started breaking apart, and they lost all their cargo. It even got so bad that all hope of being saved was lost. We are told that in verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars were visible for many days, and no small tempest kept raging about us, all hope of our being saved was finally abandoned. Now, the angel of the Lord, of course, appeared to Apostle Paul and said in verse 22, but even now, you know, he says, be of good cheer. When he came, he says, but even now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood by my side an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. And he said, do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told to me. Amen. And so they got safely to the island, but they lost everything except their lives. Why? Because they didn't heed the warning. So don't ignore the warnings of the Holy Spirit. It could be very costly. If there's not a peaceful witness within your spirit to do something or to go somewhere, then don't do it. If you get that check in your spirit, obey it. It's your responsibility to obey regardless of any pressure that people put on you. You know, there's always somebody that wants to know why. Well, I've learned simply to tell them because God told me not to. You know, and so I know that, you know, God is the author of peace. God is not an author of confusion. So I follow whatever produces peace. If I come to a place where there are two ways to go and I start a certain way, but there's no peace, then I don't go that way. If I start the other way and I experience peace, then that's the direction I go. I let the peace of God be my guide because he is the author of peace and not confusion. So if you'll read in Colossians 3:15, it tells us to follow after what produces the greatest peace, then we can be safe. Amen. And so I believe that you know, if we can heed the warnings of the Holy Spirit, we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be led and directed by Him, we will always end up in victory. I pray that you have been blessed by this message today and that you will take it seriously and watch and see what God will do for you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a blessed and prosperous day. God bless you all. Bye-bye.